Welcome to Love to Heal with Dr. Kim.
This is Dr. Kim, licensed clinical psychologist and host of Love to Heal. Today, we have a very special guest, Dave Shank. He is a gym owner of multiple locations, including Hollywood and Studio City. And you know, we talk about the psychology behind attraction, relationships, and even breakup recovery. And he has a ton of insight to give us. Thank you so much for being here, Dave.
Hey, Kim, how's it going?
It's going so well. And I should add that we are friends. So I look up to you as an expert, but yes, I do have the pleasure of the friendship as well. But I wanted to invite you on as the first guest of Love to Heal because you have so much insight into not only the physiological aspect with training, with exercise, but also the psychological piece.
Oh, well, thank you. Well, the feeling's mutual. I look up to you. I love all the things you're doing. And so I really enjoy all the content. So I'm really excited to be here.
So Dave actually has a really colorful and brilliant background as far as how he grew up. He was an athlete, and then he got into graduate school, and then he became a gym owner. So can you walk us through that? I know it's a long story, but like, what are the highlights of how you got into everything?
Yeah. So I think it's really hard for people to understand that when I've been involved in some level of fitness and exercise my whole life, but really the fitness industry that we're looking at now just did not exist 20 years ago. I mean, we're looking at a multi-billion dollar industry. It's almost, I would say, fitness is the new church that a lot of people are attending on a weekly basis. And that's probably the best way to understand it. 20, 30 years ago, it really didn't exist like that. We had huge, big gyms like, you know, Bally's and Gold's and 24-Hour Fitness. But that was pretty much it. And so I grew up in an era where, sports was my primary source of activity. I didn't really go to the gym to work out for any other reason than to prepare for athletics. And so athletics was kind of my childhood. And that propelled me into a college scholarship where I wrestled through college. And it really was after college that I started basically getting into like personal training as a way to make money. And at the time I didn't see it as a profession. And to backtrack a little bit, I had a really amazing childhood in the sense that my dad, he basically got my brother and I into working out at a really young age in preparation for athletics. And so by the time I was in high school, we had a really cool little gym, like a nice, like with squats and bench press and things like that. It was like a really nice little gym. And so I would write out fitness routines for all the neighborhood kids. They'd come in and I'd work out with them. And it really, even then, even though it was in preparation for sports, it was like something that was so much bigger than that for me. And I didn't realize that until I got older. It was like all my best friends, we would work out together and we would hang out and we would listen to music and we'd hit sets and we would talk and we would talk about girls and all those kind of things that you would talk about. And it was like, I just fell in love with working out because of the rhythms and the flows of it. At a young age, it just really became part of my life. And so when sports ended, I started training just as a way to make money, and it really felt very natural for me, but I never saw it as a career. Like, I just didn't believe that you could actually become a professional trainer. Mm-hmm. And at the time, there were people who were making really good money at it, but it just wasn't the industry that we know it as of today. And so I dabbled in multiple things over the years. Like, I got out of fitness for a while and I sold some medical device implants, spine implants up in the Bay Area. I even worked in law enforcement for a while, but it always kept pulling me back because I just had this huge love for fitness. And over the years, I've opened up personal training studios in San Diego and we've got a couple locations here in Los Angeles. And it's just been an incredible journey, I think, of just not only me being able to do what I love, but also just seeing the world around me to continue to open up more and more opportunities in fitness.
That's incredible. I love the fact that you were an athlete. And what was the reason that you kept getting pulled back, do you think?
So yeah, I think this is what's so fascinating about athletics is if anyone's ever played sports, even just in the high school level, but especially as you continue to go on in the higher levels, like athletics creates this utopian world where everything makes sense and you have structure and you have organization and you have all these things built in for you. You have a coach that's there for you and the coach is holding you accountable. And it creates a world where things make sense. You feel like you win or lose based on your work ethic and some of the different things that you have control over. And then when you leave the sports world, you enter into a world where it doesn't feel as organized and structured. And sometimes it doesn't feel fair. It feels like, you know, there's nepotism and all these things going on. And now as I've gotten older, I've realized it's all the same thing. It's just a different game. And it's taken me a while to realize that it's just a different type of a game. But I think when you first leave the world of sports, it's really daunting to just look at the world as it is and not want to go back to finding some kind of avenue for athletics. And so I still have a lot of respect for athletics, but I think for me, I would say my new genre of athletics has been my business. And I think, you know, finding new avenues of life where you can say, you can take the same mentality, which is what I love what you do in so many of the different areas that you focus on. You're basically coaching people in their life. And that, I think that idea of like getting a coach is, it's huge. So, yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking early about, you know, why is it important to talk about breakups and like the fact that it's in, you know, television and movies. And sometimes I feel like it's underrated, you know, how much pain and suffering people can go through and also how much transformation they can go through just by having that experience. And that's why having like trainers and people that are experts or coaches, I feel like can really walk people through. And even of course, organically on their own, they can have this transformation. But I don't see that a lot. And I feel like that is something that people really need to understand is that pain is palpable and it is very long-term in a lot of situations. And you wouldn't know it because people are covert about it. They don't necessarily want to be transparent about how long they're struggling with that situation. And I feel like with both of us, we're seeing that transformation in different ways. You're getting the psychological aspect when you're training or when you're obviously owning a gym, and you're also getting that physiological piece where I'm getting the psychological. But I will actually a lot of times tell clients, go do the group training, you know, or get a trainer if you build a skill. That confidence comes back, and that weight training in particular, I know you're a fan of, but that increases confidence even more so than other realms. But it's just so underrated, this realm of breakup recovery, and it's so purposeful. So I really want to get your take. What have you seen? Like, do you see people come in wanting revenge bodies? Totally. Do you see transformations that are psychological and physical? Like, what have you seen with your clients?
Yeah, you know, it's so funny. Like, so since you've gone down and some, I've listened to some of your podcasts and some of the conversations you've had on this, it's actually been pretty mind boggling in light of kind of all the things you said, just how much happens when a person goes through a breakup, especially when they're trying to get back into that relationship. It is such a pivotal place in their life where they can really become the best version of themselves. And yeah, it's absolutely fascinating. So of course, when we're talking about the best version of ourselves, we need a mental framework and we need a coach to walk us through there, which is like someone like yourself. But then you also need some kind of physical transformation. And in many ways, that's not even really fair because everything is so integrated and holistic. So it's not like when you're lifting weights, you're only just using your body and that your mind is not involved or in any other thing. So like clearly they're all moving the person along to the best version of themselves. And so like I look at when people, and we do get a lot of people that come to us after a breakup. Let me backtrack. I would say fitness is really interesting. As trainers, I think a lot of times we get frustrated with the idea that we always have to provide external motivation for someone because we know that deep down they need an internal motivating factor in order to see progress. And so the fitness industry, for the most part, it's almost like we're dancing and we're waving our pom-poms. We're doing all of these things to try to like rah-rah people into wanting it for themselves, but rarely do they want it. And so like as trainers, it's a normal conversation to like say, hey, I'm ready when you want it. But when someone goes through a breakup or when the doctor says, hey, like you might not have that much longer to live because of the lifestyle you're carrying or whatever those factors are, there is a pivotal place that person's at. And when we get that person at that place, it's a totally different game. Now they have a deep internal motivation to make changes. And I think like for someone that's in this period where they've been broken up with, or they're trying to get back together with someone, it may be even more emotional and more challenging than anything else. I mean, I've been in a situation like that. I'm sure we all have at some point where it makes you question yourself. It makes you question your identity. It makes you feel deep anxiety and depression, all these things. And when someone can use that as a point to pivot in a new direction and make their life better, I think that exercise is an awesome place for that. And I think that's, you know, a lot of times people, when they come to us in those specific circumstances, there is an idea that maybe if I could be sexier or if I could do some of these X, Y, and Z, that my partner would like me more. But I think what ends up happening most of the time is that when the person comes in, I think originally they're very obsessed with getting their partner to like them. And I think over time, as they get into the routines of fitness and all these things they're doing to basically change their life and become this amazing person, they get put in this amazing place where then all of a sudden they have options. Not only does their partner want them back oftentimes because they're this amazing person, they have options as well. And sometimes, I've listened to this in your podcast, sometimes they decide to go back to with the person, and other times they have these options to maybe date someone else or not date at all. And I think that's such a cool place for someone to be at. And I guess just to like rehash it, rarely do we get these opportunities in life where, normally life, we just get into these routines and it's really hard to make big monumental changes to improve our life. And so a breakup, I think, is one of those key moments where someone can really look in the mirror and say, okay, who do I want to be in life? And I think exercise is always going to be an important part of that recipe.
Yeah, I agree. And it's funny because we kind of call it trickery in a way, because in a sense, they're coming in and they do have these obsessive thoughts and they have these compulsions to constantly check on what they're doing, what the ex is doing. They constantly want to see if they're getting validated from them. And absolutely with time, if they're being active with that recovery of the breakup, what I see is the same thing. They have choices. They're not in a scarcity mindset. And now the person is reattracted. And they have the option to typically go back. And sometimes that's a toxic relationship and maybe the person isn't quite for them, but at least they have options and they're not in that scarcity mindset anymore. But yeah, it's huge. It's huge. And I think the confidence is big. But yes, I think what gets them in the door are those obsessive thoughts, which are normal, obviously. And it's even more normative if you were the one that was broken up with. You're going to actually have more obsessive thoughts about it, because when you are rejected, you're going to be more obsessed. That'll get them in the door, and then the aesthetic piece too. But really what it comes down to is building that confidence. And I think what I've heard from you with your philosophy is that you're teaching them skills. You are looking at them. I know you. You're looking at them and you want them to learn these skills. Like, you're not making them dependent on you. And I'm the same way as a psychologist. I literally want them to learn as many skills and get out if they need to as fast as possible. You don't need to rely on me forever. This is about skill building. I'm here when you need me, but it's about skill building. And that skill building boosts the confidence. It boosts autonomy. Mm. And they're feeling like they're on top of the world by the time that they get 3 months, 6 months into it.
Totally. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. Like, especially with fitness, I think guys and girls are going to have similar experiences with what I do, which I teach people to lift weights. I mean, at the bottom line, I'm teaching people how to lift weights. At Lift Society, that's our brand. I think we can get into the details of, how we differentiate how we lift weights. But at the end of the day, when you're lifting weights, you're basically putting stress on your body. And then you're building your body up, making it strong enough to handle that stress and then to add more stress. And that's called progressive overloading. Basically, putting yourself in a place where you can put just enough stress on your body that you can do that for those amount of reps and those amount of sets. And then the next time you come, you're going to try to progressively overload your body with a little more stress. But over time, what you're really doing is you're building up not just physical strength, but this inner strength and this confidence to feel like I can handle what life throws at me. Yeah. And I think that stuff is really powerful. It's really powerful. And you see it a lot. So traditionally, lifting weights has been more of a male-dominant field. When I first got into fitness, God, it was over 20 years ago, the majority of people that work out were women, and it's always been that way. But men traditionally were more into lifting weights. And I would always have just such long conversations with women just saying, don't worry, you're not going to look like me. You're not going to look like me. Mm-hmm. And you don't have the hormones, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But as so many studies have come out and shown that lifting weights is amazing for women for so many different reasons, but especially aesthetically. It's one of the best things you can do as far as burning fat and doing all the different things and toning and tightening the body. It's been really cool to just watch so many women come in. I no longer have to explain to them. I don't have to talk through their fears of lifting weights and just watch them get excited for the first time to put a barbell on their back, to pick up something heavy off the floor, and just to see it. It's addicting in a way that I think you can start to build an identity around it, which is really cool. And so I think a perfect thing is like when I know that for me, that I struggle a little bit with addictive, obsessive kind of thinking. I'm sure we all do on some level. And it's nice to have a new habit that you can form that mm-hmm. can then take your mind a different direction. So if you're in a post breakup situation, and yeah, you're obsessively going on Instagram and you want to look at what this person is doing all the time, I think just to be able to retrain your mind and body and take it a different direction and give it habits and skills and feel empowered and feel progressively stronger every time you go to the gym, I just think it becomes a really an amazing way to not move on, because I don't think that's always the goal, but to be empowered and to be your best version of yourself, to then have the options of doing what you want to do when that relationship comes back around to you. So
that's key. And you know what? It's so funny because people don't understand what a gift it is, but I cannot tell you how many people I've seen, like, I'm so glad, they'll tell me, I'm so glad that I went through this. Like some people get off certain prescription drugs, or some people build a skill, like they're kickboxers all of a sudden, or they're artists now, or it's incredible. And now it's when they get back into a relationship, even if it's with their ex, it's like they have more boundaries. They're asserting themselves. Mm-hmm. They're more attractive because they're more confident. And that's another piece. Like once the relationship starts to dwindle down, you'll notice if you really look back, you know what? I was slipping there. Maybe I was giving too much. Maybe I was too needy. Maybe I was losing myself, my identity, like you talked about. And with identity, it's key for contentment. If mm-hmm. you're not content, the person's not going to be as attracted. And there's so many variables as to why you might have broken up with the person. But looking back, you might see like you lost yourself maybe in some way. And this is just another step, another tool to be able to get that confidence back and get your identity up. But again, with weight training, I'm so glad you make this point with women, because a lot of people that are listening are female. But weight training, I'm telling you, all the studies I've read, it is key as far as confidence building. And you work, and they don't have to be scared. You work in Hollywood. These people want to look aesthetically good. They have to for their jobs. Totally. So they're looking at you for that prescription, and you're giving them that prescription aesthetically, confidence wise, and skill building wise. So I'm telling you, if I had one thing to tell people once they broke up, I would say go into a group fitness class, mm-hmm. get a trainer, learn how to train. It's so key. And then obviously we know with mood, in the UK, the first line of treatment for depression is exercise, mm-hmm. and US is not that, it's not that way. So we need to really make it that way. You know, unless you have like severe psychosis or severe mood instability, you got to try exercise first. If you're going through something that's really clinically difficult, which mm-hmm. is a depressive episode because of breakups. So yeah, people just really, they underestimate like how long they might not feel well. They underestimate like how much they're going to need, you know, to add to their lives to get through this. And they beat themselves up when they're still thinking about them 6 months in a year later. And it's normative. It's just, what are you going to add to your life? And you provide something like that.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. I appreciate that. What would you say when someone goes through a breakup like that, are there like phases, like, you know, you have like those phases of grief or whatever. Are there like certain phases that someone can, like, you can say, okay, let's make it to this next phase? Or is it all just completely individualized based on the person?
Yeah, like grief, and it really is grief. Like grief, you actually fluctuate. So you'll go from one stage to the next one. So you'll go from anger to bargaining. Obviously, later on, it's more of acceptance. But that takes a long time for guys and girls. It takes a long time. So you have to be easy on yourself. And that's why if you have these positive distractions, it's like, okay, I can cope a little bit better with the nighttime where I'm crying. You know what I mean? When I'm feeling, when I'm raw. Like, at least I know tomorrow morning I'm waking up and there's going to be someone to support me or something to look forward to, a routine. Totally. And we got to get through the 66 days because that's how to form a new habit. But even if you get to that point, let's say the ex contacts you, and it can reopen a wound. Mm. So it doesn't mean you won't be able to deal with it. You can manage it, but you can't expect yourself to have a linear situation or linear experience. It's going to have ups and downs, and you just have to give yourself that arsenal, the space to grieve and the space to build new skills and add value to your life, connect more. And that way you have more resilience.
Totally. You know, so I have a question. So like, cause I see a lot of our clients do this. Well, if they're going through a breakup, they come in and you can tell they start getting into shape and they start posting on Instagram, like, here's the product that basically you gave away, so to speak. Do you feel like that's a good strategy to use, or is it just whatever works for the individual?
So what are you saying? Are you saying like they're showing up?
So I, oh yeah. So like, so I, cause I'm on Instagram and I see like all of our clients. Yeah. And when I do see a lot of these like kind of post breakup situations, or I can tell someone wants to get into a relationship, they're posting changes, their Instagram posts change, yeah, and they start to showcase like their body and what they're doing. Yes. Maybe they're even doing things that like maybe would create a little bit of jealousy. Look who I'm working out with, the type of people here. Yeah. So I'm just curious, is that when you're going down that path, because that's really them directed, is that a an unhealthy distraction, or would you say that that would be a positive thing?
Yeah. So at the beginning, I would say it's maladaptive because the ex knows you better than you think that they do. Mm-hmm. And also you don't want to do anything that's not aligned with authenticity. As ridiculous as it sounds, it's important. You don't want to be faking it. So it's like, if I'm excited to go to Dave's gym, then that can be showcased. That can be posted because it's genuine. And your ex isn't going to know anything. But as long as you stay authentic, they're not going to be keen on it. And yes, there is a chance, obviously, that they're going to be more jealous. But yeah, research shows that if you're going on adventures, or if you're engaging in activity, or if you're doing something new, they'll start becoming jealous, envious, because it looks like you're moving on without them. They start imagining themselves there, and it hurts to see that they're not part of that picture. So yeah, the aesthetics, of course, that can make them envious, but just being engaged in a new activity, it definitely can spark reattraction and interest. But most importantly, you're doing it authentically, and you have to. You cannot fake it, like I said, because if you do that, not only will they know, but it's not going to feel good. So I ask them not to post in the very beginning, unless they're starting off like a new art project or they're starting off a routine, they can post that. But as far as the product, like you're saying, like the end product of what happened, give it time, like be organic about it, feel comfortable about it. You know, you want to really feel comfortable in your skin again.
Yeah.
Just as far as like, even like the skill that you're building. So post when you feel it, not because you want to make someone jealous. Cause I'm telling you, it can turn and it can make them reattracted for the moment. And guess what? They could be out because you satiated them. They were curious. They had anxiety because you look good one day and then they're out. So make sure you give yourself time to really feel better, do the work to feel better, and then showcase whatever that is. So it's all coming together authentically. And then you have more options. You know, do I feel like I want to step back into this or do I not?
That's interesting. Yeah. Authenticity is such a weird thing. Is there a way that you can know? I mean, do you just, everyone has a pretty good barometer on when they're being authentic, or is there, because let me just take a step back, because I think for us in fitness, even like authenticity is like, number one, it's like, if you're using the word authenticity, it's hard to be authentic when you're using the word authenticity, because it feels kind of almost a little cheesy, but
I
appreciate how powerful it is, because I think one of the things like as fitness, working in fitness, is that it's always been important for us is to maintain some level of authenticity. And I think that when we do that, our brand flourishes. And when we're always trying to meet demands that aren't true to who we are, it never comes across, I guess.
Well, yeah. I mean, research shows that genuineness is attractive. People need to be genuine in their work, in the business offerings, in the way they're coming across if they're trying to date. But yeah, you want to be genuine, like with yourself, with whatever's coming across. And I can tell you that it backfires when you're not. I'm not saying you're never going to have a misstep. You might be tempted to have that neurochemical rush, but I would hold off, you know, do it, really get into it, enjoy what you're doing. That's how it ends up working. That's how you end up reattracting, so that they're not just boomeranging, you know, away from you after they want to send you a quick message, you know, just to be satiated.
So I'm going to ask you another question. So I think this kind of relates to your area of expertise, but I think just because you're a psychologist, I'm fascinated. One of the things that's been really interesting for me as kind of like a thought experiment over the years is that I have found that my clients respond better almost when I'm a little bit meaner to them.
Good point.
And it's the weirdest thing, because like on some level, when you get into fitness, you are kind of a compassionate person. You want to help people. And that I have found over the years that the more I dive into compassion, the more I start making excuses for people, the more I literally don't hold them accountable. And so there's this weird thing where like, and I kind of like intuitively know that from relationships as well. Like when you are so about that person's needs to the point that you don't hold true to what you're trying to accomplish, whether it's in fitness, whatever the workout is, whatever, or mm-hmm. the fact that they said they're going to be there at 6 a.m. and they were there at 6:15. Mm-hmm. It's just the psychology of that has always been so fascinating to me, because I have to sometimes come out of my comfort zones to be a little meaner in order to actually accomplish better results than when I'm a nice person.
I think that is an incredible point. I'm so glad you brought it up. That is a huge component. And I will bring it back. The reason why I got back into this is because it's more like coaching. It really is. Like, you can be, you know, hard is not really the word, but yeah, hold them accountable. You don't have to just, it's not as much like psychotherapy where you just sit with the person, or maybe you're doing some kind of modality with them. You're really picking up in that moment, like, where are their weaknesses? Where are they having and displaying that scarcity mindset? And in that moment, you have to tell them what it is. And sometimes they're doing things that are leaking the fact that they have these insecurities. And what I ask is, the one thing that you do want to fake is that you're not necessarily seeking them for validation anymore, that ex. You do have to hold back on that. So where I see like a misstep is that person starts asking about them to the family. Well, guess what? Just because you're not messaging them directly doesn't mean that that indirect communication isn't going to get back to them. Mm. And you have to hold back on that, because you're working on yourself. The focus has to be on you.
Interesting.
You know, it's not that you can't do it, but let me tell you something, that is going to backtrack you if you're trying to reattract. And it's also going to backtrack as far as you focusing on your goals. So yeah, I feel like I do have to be direct, much more so than just in psychotherapy, but it's a bit of my style anyway. But I think they know our intentions. I know you, and yeah. They know our intentions. They know we're not malintended, that we're coming from love, but they're not coming to us, Dave, so that we can just cater to them and coddle them and just say, hey, everything you're doing is key. They wouldn't be coming to us if they didn't need behavioral and psychological changes. That's mm-hmm. what they're asking for. They're asking for accountability, just like a business coach. So they're asking for it. We have to give it to them, but we give it to them in a very well-intended, loving way. So I love that you brought that up. That is so key. Like, we do have to essentially crack the whip when they're doing things that we know aren't aligned with their best selves in that moment. And it's hard because they are grieving.
Totally. And would you, you know, so me personally, when I see someone trying to become the best version of themselves, I think it's very sexy. I think it's a really amazing yeah. thing. But I don't know if that's always a gender thing or if that's an individual thing. Would you say that most people, when they're going through a breakup, in light of some of the stuff you've seen, that when their partner sees them not, you know, being authentic, not trying to necessarily get them back, but becoming the best version of themselves, that they will see that as the
practice? You know, it's so fascinating, and you probably already know this, but I see very little differentiation when it comes to breakup recovery with males and females.
Mm.
The things, and this is in the research too, a lot of what, there are differences, but a lot of what reattracts is similar with both genders.
Interesting.
You're going for your career goals. You're starting a new project. You're hanging out with really, you know, high value people that are adding to your life. You're going on adventures. You're traveling. You're more confident. You're more ambitious. Yeah. You're more content. You're more genuine. All these, this applies to males and females. So that's why when I'm talking, I'm actually talking to both genders almost maybe 99% of the time, which is interesting because a lot of people are listening are female, but I never cater just to that because the research shows like a lot of this stuff is similar when it comes to breakup recovery and relationship enhancement as well. You know, it's a little bit different when it comes to psychology of attraction, as far as dating, like new dating. Sometimes the men have to pursue a little harder at first, things like that. So there's a little variance when it comes to that. But yeah, as far as genders, it's similar.
Interesting. Yeah, that's interesting.
So tell me about relationships. Do couples ever come in? Does one person ever come in and say, hey, I need to reignite something?
Right.
What do you see with them?
Oh, so I mean, I feel like there's just so much there. And I don't know if we want to go into all of it, because some of it's kind of like almost a little bit politically incorrect, but you can stop me if it gets a little too far. But like, I will start with number one, I think the dynamics that happen in couples are so fascinating. Like, I just think you'll find this interesting. Like, I can't tell you how many guys will only want to train with a female trainer because they don't want another man telling them what to do.
Mm.
And they also, we'll find out later, really get turned on by a woman telling them what to do, but it's not overly sexual.
Right.
And I can't tell you how many female clients, some of our guy trainers or myself, our male trainers will have, that just want a male to take care of them.
Yeah.
But it's not sexual either. But yet I'm sure on some level there is a sexuality aspect to it all. Sure. And that's not all of our clients. I mean, a lot of people come in, I think they're very focused on just getting results. But I guess I'm kind of coming around full circle. There's just so much happening when a couple comes in or anything comes in. There's just so much happening underneath the surface in fitness all the time. There's people trying to get a boyfriend back or a girlfriend back, trying to get a job promotion, feel better about themselves. Yeah. They're depressed. Or like I said, or they're just lonely and they're looking for a male trainer just to be there to like make them feel like a guy is taking care of them, or vice versa, a female. So a lot of times these couples come in. And yeah, I think it's really interesting. I think that it's almost an aphrodisiac for a lot of couples to work out together.
It is. You know, do you know the research on mimicry? I mean, you know about this because when you're in sync with someone nonverbally, so your nonverbals, your body language is similar. So they're doing the same routine and they either see it in the mirror, they're looking at each other, they're in sync. Maybe they weren't in sync when they were at their household earlier,
yes,
but now they're in sync, and that's a huge way to bond. And obviously the adrenaline piece, we know that also, like, that also peaks with arousal. So I love couples to go in together. I'm glad that you see them.
And I think for the most part, it's really cool. And I think, you know, whatever, you know, all the different things that are released, those feel good hormones and things after you get a workout done, yeah, to then look over and have your partner there with you, almost like you're having this amazing drug induced, natural, healthy, high experience together. I think it's just a really great bonding tool for couples. However, I will say there are some couples that cannot work out together for all kinds of weird reasons. And that's hilarious too. I love watching that play out. And you can always tell right away because they know they can't work out together before, yep, they even get there. Mm-hmm. Every once in a while, we've seen some couples just explode because, like, and I'm sure whatever was happening in their workout was just scratching the surface of problems they were having at home. But that's happened a few times. But usually couples come in, and for the most part, it's an amazing bonding experience. Every once in a while, though, we'll see couples that just cannot work out together. And they're pretty funny about it. I mean, they're just like one of those bickering couples that are always fighting. And so, like, they're just getting annoyed at each other. They're competitive with each other. So they just don't want to be in the same room with each other. But that's kind of rare. I would say for the most part, relationship-wise, it's really cute just to see couples come in and have that experience together. And, you know, and it is, I think, unfortunate, going back to the whole sports thing. A lot of times in the fitness industry, and I see this all the time, the woman will be, and I'm being a little stereotypical because it doesn't always happen this way, but the woman will be much more like, hey, I got to take care of my health. I got to take care of my fitness. And the guy's not like that because maybe he played sports and he needs some kind of like goal or something, yeah, that's a little more the idea. My brother's like this. My brother was an exceptional athlete, you know, captain of this wrestling team. He really hasn't worked out for 20 years. And then only until his sons got of age that he could then put them through some workout programs did he finally push himself and get up after having gained however much weight, you know. And so anyways, that's another like funny dynamic when it comes to relationships, is that oftentimes the woman will be much more like, we got to take care of our health. We got to take care of this kind of stuff. Right. And they drag the guy in. And then it's even more fascinating too, when the guy literally can't squat nearly what his girlfriend can.
Oh.
And he has to deal with that. And so like, this actually happens enough that when some kick-ass chick at our gym, that's just, you know, just in amazing shape, and she's pushing herself, and her boyfriend comes in, and like, I always pull him to the side. I'm just like, look, you do not need to keep up with her. She's been doing this for the last couple of years.
Nice.
You take the pressure off. I'm actually going to like hold you back a little bit, because I know if I, as a guy, kind of rev him up, he'll rev himself up as well. And then, mm-hmm, he's just going to fall flat on his face. So like, I try to take the pressure off of the guy.
Oh, nice.
This happens all the time. And especially in LA, I feel like there's a lot more just like girls that want to push in LA. So yeah, I'll take the pressure off him and just be like, hey, like, we're just going to do a couple sets. That's all you're going to do today. And then you're going to be really sore from that. And then I'll get you in a couple of days. We're going to do a little bit more and a little bit more. So that's another fun dynamic that happens with couples and fitness.
Oh, I love that you take them to the side like that. It's very cool.
Yeah, because like, it's just, I know like our egos are really fragile sometimes, especially like just in certain circumstances where we just feel like we can't keep up. So
You know what I see also in a lot of times after breakups, the guy will start working out, but the girl tried to drag him to the gym a lot. These are the ones that, these are the women that are usually like career women and they're taking their workouts really seriously, but they'll try and try and try to get him. And then they'll get in at, after the breakup because they want to recap the girl or other girls. They will be heated because it's like, why didn't you do that now? You know, but either way, like whoever's taking better care of themselves. And I mean, health and mental health, physical health and mental health typically has a bit of an edge there. So you do want that edge. And I would prefer that edge just for self-development. But if one of your motivations is to reattract, that's okay. That can be the fuel.
Totally.
How important do you think it is as far as attraction or getting an ex back or relationships to actually be goal oriented? Like, how much do you apply that to your life? Do you feel like that's a big piece that you keep setting goals for yourself? Do you think that that helps in relationships?
Yeah, that's a really great question. I guess you could break that up in different ways. Like, I don't know, you would have to answer the question, how does it work to set the goal of actually, like, I'm going to get this person back and like make it quantifiable. I don't know about that, but I know that having some kind of a goal to be the best person you can be in order to then be in the best place to attract that person back, that would make a lot of sense. And to have specific goals that are somewhat measurable. I think when it comes to like working out, I think is extremely important. I mean, I think the best way to understand, it seems like all of this is that oftentimes when a breakup happens, because I can think back to some of my own breakups, you don't want to just get back together as the same two people who you previously were, because there was a problem. So if you get back together the same person you were and he gets back together the same, then you're basically just setting yourself up for failure. So something has to change once a breakup happens, in my opinion, for there to be a future for that relationship. And so setting specific goals to change who you are from a fitness standpoint, I think is huge. And I think that the best way to do that is by creating the daily habit of doing something every single day for your fitness. And I know, like, even with lifting weights, you know, we talk about different body part splits and maybe working out 3 days a week. And I love all that, but I'm kind of a firm believer that you should have something very consistent that you do every single day for your body, because it's more about the habit than anything else.
Exactly.
I think you have to build that habit of like every day I'm going to do something for myself. And when I was actually, it's interesting when I, in light of that, I've always, if there's anything that I would give myself a pat on the back for in fitness that I think most guys do not do very well, is that I'm always willing to just do something. I'm always willing to just do something. And I think that most guys are all or nothing. And I see this all the time. So usually when the guys do come in, they're super motivated. Maybe it is after a breakup. They're going to go so hard for 3 months and then they're going to get injured. And it happens a lot because they're like pushing themselves. They oftentimes lack mobility. Whereas a lot of women are smarter about it. They're like, okay, like I'm going to push myself. I'm going to take, they see more of a long-term future. So as far as like that goal setting goes, I think there has to be a long-term approach of like, I'm just going to start doing something every single day for my body. And when I was working medical device sales, we were on call. We get pulled into the operating room and it was just a really crazy job that I did for only a couple of years, but it really put me out of my routine.
Yeah.
And so I developed really what I call like, I had like three workouts that I did. I had my perfect workout, which is where all my bells and whistles, my stretching, my core work, and all the things that I wanted to throw in. And that was when I had the time to do it. And then I had my second workout, which is where I was limited on time and I was very like efficient. Like, so it was like the exercises that was going to give me the most bang for my buck, right? So instead of maybe doing some isolation exercise, everything were big movements, multi-joint movements, getting a lot out of the limited time that I had. Then I had what I called my oh shit workout, which is like, I have nothing, like my whole day was taken from me. I have one thing after another, and I got pulled into the hospital and all these things happened, but I would give myself 1 minute, and in 1 minute, I would basically do like as many squat jumps as I can and push-ups. And it was enough to get a little bit of a pump for my muscles, but really it was more about my brain, my mind, keeping my mind involved. And so I always tell people, like, you have to do something every day. Don't ever give yourself, unless it's an active rest day. Like, I do believe that there should be a day where you just kind of take a day off and just rest, but it's a day that you have purposely set aside for that, kind of like a Sabbath day. But yeah, I think doing something every day, and I think that if you're in a post-breakup experience, that you have to set something tangible that you can do every day. And I think that's another problem, is that when it comes to goal setting and fitness, a lot of times people live in the, here's my perfect workout routine, and they don't have any kind of alternative for that. And that just sets yourself up, I think, mentally to feel like, oh, now I am a failure in this area of my life as well. So the last thing I would want someone to do is come out of a breakup and internalize that as being a failure, which is not true, obviously, but internalize that as being a failure, and then go into a workout program, set such high expectations that they can't reach them, that then they feel like they're a failure again. Instead, I'd rather actually see them set the bar a little lower, make sure that they can achieve whatever goals they put in front of them. So maybe it's 2 to 3 days a week that they're going to come to a Lift Society or whatever they want to do. And then they start to build off that. Like in the same way that lifting weights is a form of progressive overload, we're putting more weight on our body, we're getting stronger, we're building up resistance to it, and we're internally and externally building up strength to be able to lift more weight. I think you're doing the same thing with your habits as well. Like you start off with habits that are much more manageable, and then over time you can build those habits up into something that's pretty amazing. And next thing you know, over the course of a week, you're literally working out maybe, who knows, 45 minutes to an hour every day. And then you compound that over a couple months and your body is literally different. Your brain and everything is different. Your confidence is different. And you're in an amazing place to, I think, do a lot of really cool things with just your life at that point. But I think it has to start with just a really small kind of progressive overload mentality when it comes to your habits.
100%. And everything I've seen with the research absolutely lines up with that. So what you're giving us is gold, because if, especially if you need a new routine or you need to habituate to something, doing something little is absolutely best, rather than doing something simply 2 or 3 times a week and trying to make it perfect. And perfectionism is exactly what the barrier is when it comes to starting something new. And keeping it consistent. And obviously I was going to ask you what your secret was that you've been so consistent and disciplined, but that's right. Like you'll let yourself have the days where maybe the workout is not exactly what you wanted it to be. But you're still going to do something. And you're talking about a minute. This guy is the pro's pro. He's talking about he'll do a minute if that's what it takes to keep himself in that mindset. And that's exactly what you'd want to see with someone that's going through any life change. A career change, a breakup, a shift in the relationship, whatever it is, that's what you want to see, is something accomplished daily, even if it's not exactly what you want. And that's challenging your perfectionism. And if you're an overachiever, that's hard. But that dichotomous, all or nothing, polarized thinking is definitely going to get in your way. And you can accomplish so much more if you do something novel, something new, and something that will benefit your physical and mental health every single day. So I love that you gave us that piece, because I wanted to know what it took for you.
Something every day. And you know, on the side note, I love lifting weights. Like I am such a huge fan of it. I think, like, as we mentioned earlier, I just think for so many reasons, aesthetically, empowering physically, mentally. I think the community that it can have. But one thing that I was going to say from an exercise standpoint that I think is one of the most underrated forms of exercise is just walking. I'm a huge advocate of walking. And I think that's one of the things that people can do. It doesn't require any equipment. And even on the most basic level, if someone starts walking, especially if you bring in a social component, all of a sudden you're walking with a friend, maybe you're in like a recovery situation where you're trying to like get over someone. And I think women do this better than us guys. But just having a friend to go with you, maybe you go get some coffee or tea, you go for a walk, you go for a hike, and spending an hour walking and moving, there's something I really have always, I know meditation is really good for you. I've always struggled just to sit down and meditate. But I think walking, when you're walking around, there is a form of meditation that's so deeply rooted in the evolution of being human. You know, we've walked for thousands and thousands of years before we ever did anything else. I think there's just something about therapeutically how good it is, not just for your body. Like I think even from a hormonal standpoint, I think that it just takes you, the cortisol and all the stress levels that are up when you walk, it just takes everything down a notch. It makes you relax a little bit. You're breathing more fluidly. But I think it also is just good for your mind, just to put your mind in a very meditative place. So that would be another thing that I'd recommend for anyone. If they're going through a breakup, do some type of cardiovascular activity like that. I think that cardio mixed with, it's kind of a nice yin and yang with strength training, something where you're being forced to breathe repetitively and you can take your mind somewhere else, whether you're having, you know, conversation with a friend. And then I think the yang, so to speak, of like that heavy tension that you're building and you're getting stronger underneath, I think is a really cool way of just building yourself back up.
Yeah. Every treatment center that I've been a part of, whether it's eating disorder or substance use or dual diagnoses, they've always had mindful walks incorporated. So they would do beach walks if it was in Malibu, they do hiking if it was in Pasadena, but they would always have these mindful walks, and walking is a form of meditation, and we know this. It's even more benefit if you're doing it in nature. The Japanese call it forest bathing. It's extremely good for anxiety. You have so much anxiety when you're going through transition, but you hit it on the head. Walking is a form of meditation. As long as you're being in the moment, you're observing what's around you, you're really in it. But people get understimulated by simply sitting and meditating. So that's why people like yourself that want to be active or maybe get bored easily need to be able to do something while they're in the moment. So I think that is key. I love mindful working out and mindful walking for people that are trying to heal.
That's cool. You know, actually on that note too, that's another thing that I have found that I really enjoy about lifting weights that I think is oftentimes a misconception. When you see someone in the weight room and, you know, the brosy guy that's throwing weights around, like I think there's a part of lifting weights that has that, obviously. But I also think that there's something very mindful about lifting weights that I think a lot of people miss, especially the way we teach it at Lift Society, where it's, yeah, you want to move that weight and you want to do something external, but you're also doing something internal, and you're being in touch with the muscle groups and the things that you're trying to do and the muscle groups that you're trying to work. And I think there's something deeply meditative about exercise, especially lifting weights if done correctly, that I really enjoy. And that's another thing that I would highly recommend for anybody. Especially if they're coming out of like a breakup situation, but just anyone in life. Like, I just really like to see people find something that's going to pull them in, that it's something that like they can go deeper and deeper and deeper into the exercises. And I think that yoga has that. Obviously, you can take a few basic movements and you can go deeper into them, and you can understand alignment and breath, flexibility, all these kind of things through that. Pilates has that. And I think lifting weights has that when done correctly as well. It's a discipline that can pull people in. It can give them something to go deeper and deeper and deeper in. And not to knock HIIT training. I've done a lot of HIIT training. I think there's a lot of really cool benefits of HIIT training. But HIIT training by its very nature is very ADD. It's like, okay, the goal is to give you a constant variety of random new exercises. Mm-hmm. And in many ways, it kind of enforces a kind of boredom with fitness. And so you're always looking for some type of new exercise. Mm-hmm. And most people in the HIIT training programs that I've seen and that we've done don't last very long because they're bored and they're quickly moving on to another HIIT training program looking for the next trend. And I think something like lifting weights or any kind of an exercise discipline like yoga or Pilates, it's got so much depth to the basic movements that you can spend the rest of your life getting more connected and finding something new in them every single time you do it. And I think that's really huge. So I'm a huge advocate of people finding some type of discipline from an exercise standpoint that they can go deeper and deeper in. And obviously I'm very partial to what we do, but I think there's other great disciplines as well. So
you have given us so many gems, and the time goes by so quickly when I talk to you. But let me know, how can they find you? Where's your gym? How can they find you online?
So the name of our gym is Lift Society. If you're in Los Angeles, great. Come to us. We're in Studio City. Right now, the Hollywood gym is not open. The Studio City gym is open because of quarantine issues. But we also have an online studio that's amazing. And I love online training right now, obviously for the quarantine issues, but I also love it from a practicality standpoint. So if you're anywhere, you could be anywhere in the United States or the world really, and you could go to lift-society.com and you can have access to our online training, or if you're in Los Angeles, to our gym. But the online training thing is really interesting because on some level, that's another interesting thing as well, because on another level, I think I actually thought everything was going to go online. Once this quarantine thing happened, I was like, oh, this makes sense. You don't have to go to the gym anymore. If you're in LA, sometimes it's a 45-minute commute looking for parking. But I've realized, people really need that deep connection. You know what I mean? And I think that's another thing. Like, people need to connect, whether they're coming from a breakup, whatever. People, we need to connect with each other. But I will say, you can hybrid some kind of a physical gym location with an online training program like what we have. I think it's really great. So all you need is a light pair of dumbbells. From the comfort of your own home, we'll provide you with a really cool strength training workout. And then hopefully at some point you can get into the gym as well. But I think this will definitely get you started.
Amazing. Thank you for being with us, Dave. You're incredible. And I will talk to you soon.
Great seeing you, Kim.